Gonna call the meeting to order. Mrs. Clark?
This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, by posting it in Borough Hall on the bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 2nd, 2025. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasetto?
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Pujols?
Yep.
Mayor Hoheleitner?
Here, thank you. And now we are going to please rise and take a moment of silent reflection. More gun violence. Now I'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Well, I lied to you, George. I'm gonna say a few things about you first. You're ready? I do want to ask any educators that are in the room if you would please stand. I'm an educator. You're an educator. Retired educator.
Retired educator.
Hey, there's another educator back. We've got a bunch. Well, we're back to school, and I just wanted to acknowledge that I didn't completely lie to you, George. So, George Levine. George Levine is someone who is very dear to my husband and my heart. His wife, Marge, passed away a number of years ago, and we have her art hanging in our house. And we miss her. But George has greeted my husband at his business regularly for, I mean, all the years that he's been open. And we came to understand that George was an incredibly distinguished professor at Rutgers University. So I asked his daughter, Rachel, who also lives in town, to share some messages or some information about her dad, and she graciously did so. And here it is. Okay. So we're honoring George today. Oh, and his buddy's just walking in to be here. I was stalling for you. So George is the founding director of the Center for Cultural Analysis at the Rutgers University School for Arts and Sciences. He's the Kenneth Burke Professor Emeritus of English Literature at Rutgers University. During his career, he published many books on Victorian literature, literary realism, science and secularism, the boundaries of fiction, the realistic imagination, Darwin and the Nautilus, Life Birds, Dying to Know, Darwin Loves You, Natural Selection and Reenchantment of the World, How to Read the Victorian Novels, I want to pick that one up, George, Realism, Ethics, and Secularism, and Darwin the Writer. I wonder if you knew Stephen Jay Gould. I never asked you that. He's received numerous awards, including prestigious fellowships from the NEH, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Guggenheim Foundation. And he moved here after he retired, and he moved here to be close to his grandkids, Aaron and Benjamin. So Dale and Rachel live very close by. And the reason I wanted to honor George is because we need to be spending a little more time and paying attention to our senior citizens in Atlantic Highlands. And George turned 94 last month and spent a great... That's right, right? Yeah, okay. Just making sure. So I'm going to plan to do this now. You're my first... What did we call it? Super senior citizen.
There you go.
Mrs. Clark named this. So we're going to do that every month. But George, you're the first, because I won't say you're my favorite, but you're my favorite. So come on up, George.
Oh, okay.
where we make you famous. Well, more famous.
Thanks.
For you. I've made it.
Thank you very much.
Want to say anything about why you love Atlantic Highlands?
Why I love Atlantic Highlands? Well, I mean, there are lots of reasons. Major one, sitting over there, my daughter, family, Ben, wonderful friends. It's a great place to live. I've lived here now for, I can't believe it, but I've been living here now for 25 years, and you made one mistake. I actually retired after. After us.
So that's Rachel's fault. I'm just kidding.
Oh, so you're forgiven.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I also have to say, it's the best coffee shop in the world. And although he's a Giant fan, he's a good guy. No, it has been a great place to live, to watch my grandchildren grow up. And I've been very lucky to have had the opportunity to finish my career here and watch this town, in fact, grow tremendously in my time here. So thank you very much. I don't know why I'm being honored, but you display. Thank you very much. And that's it.
And the best news for you is you don't have to stay for the rest of this unless you want to.
Well, if you want the truth.
Yeah. Okay. I need a motion and a second to approve the previous meeting minutes. They are the September 3rd regular meeting. And a second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasotto?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Pujols?
Yes.
Minutes have passed.
Thank you.
And Mayor, before we move on from minutes, I'd like to make a motion to amend the April 21st, 2025 minutes, if I may. So on page 6 of those minutes, I missed what I think is a significant change or meaning. In Mr. Fisher's public comment, the approved minutes said the project was, the EV charger project was X dollars, and they, meaning the borough, was awarded $110,303 in incentives. I'd like to amend the phrase they were awarded to the borough is eligible.
Anybody second?
I'll second.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Thank you.
Mr. Colasotto?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Pujols?
Yes.
The minutes have been amended.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And we have a special guest. Thank you, Jess McLean, for being here tonight to help us out. We're trying to troubleshoot some of the difficulty we've had with the audio and visual, so she's here to help us tonight. And if it's all going smooth and I get a text that it's all going smooth from somebody on the phone, then you can go home. Okay. And Ms. Schaefer, thank you for joining us. I know you have a big week. Okay.
I thank you for allowing me to come in by Zoom. I see my picture on the screen. I'm black and white or blue white. That's interesting.
Great. Okay, now Mr. Pujols will be reading a proclamation.
All right, thank you. Recognizing September 15th through October 15th as National Hispanic Heritage Month 2025, whereas Hispanic Heritage Month takes place September 15th to October 15th every year as a time to recognize and celebrate the many contributions, diverse cultures, and extensive histories of the Hispanic community. And whereas during National Hispanic Heritage Month, we recognize that Hispanic heritage is American heritage. And whereas observing Hispanic Heritage Month allows our country to show its recognition and support for the work the Hispanic community is doing in helping this country grow. And whereas National Hispanic Heritage Month is an important reminder of how much strength we draw as a nation from our immigrant roots, and our values as a nation of immigrants. And whereas we also recognize that America cannot succeed unless Hispanic families and communities succeed, sharing equality and the benefits of our recovery and our investments. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands does hereby call upon all citizens of the borough to join in celebrating National Hispanic Heritage Month. Now, therefore, be it further resolved that the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands does hereby proclaim September 15th to October 15th as National Hispanic Heritage Month in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. And I apologize for my lisp. I have braces on for the first time. And I sound funny.
Yeah, I heard you elbowed your wife out of the way to get those braces.
So yes, vain. Yes, so vain.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You look great with or without.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. And because I am selfishly happy that we can make Mr. Leinsdorf maybe a little happy today, I will read this proclamation. This is a proclamation, Mayor and Council, Borough of Atlantic Highlands, recognizing the International Year of Quantum Science and Technology and the Centennial of Quantum Mechanics, 1925 to 2025. Whereas the year 2025 marks the 100th anniversary of the development of quantum mechanics, a revolutionary scientific framework that transformed our understanding of nature at the smallest scales. And whereas the United Nations has designated 2025 as the International Year of Quantum Science and Technology to honor this milestone and to highlight the continuing impact of quantum science on modern life. And whereas the foundations of quantum mechanics were led by pioneers such as Max Planck, who introduced energy quanta in 1900, Albert Einstein, who proposed the photon in 1905, Louis de Broglie, who suggested wave-particle duality in 1924, Werner Heisenberg, who developed matrix mechanics in 1925, and Erwin Schrödinger of the cat, who formulated wave mechanics in 1926. And whereas quantum mechanics emerged from efforts to explain phenomena that classical physics could not, such as black body radiation and the photoelectric effect, and has since led to innovations in computing, medicine, communications, and energy. Now, therefore, I, Lori Hohenleitner, Mayor of Borough of Atlantic Highlands, do hereby proclaim the year 2025 as a year of recognition and celebration of quantum science and technology, and encourage our community to reflect on the enduring value of scientific discovery. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands to be affixed this 15th day of 2025. There you go.
All right.
So after the meeting, I'll give it to Mrs. Clark to seal. And then Mr. Leinsdorf, if you'd like it, the original, I'd be happy to give it to you. Welcome. All right. Moving on. We have unfinished business, amending Ordinance 12-2025, amending Chapter 150, Standby Generators, Public Hearing and Possible Adoption. May I have a motion and a second?
Dougherty, second.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to ask anyone who's here for public comment on this particular matter to please raise your hand, be recognized, and come forward to make your comment. And this is, okay, please, sir. And if someone is online, if you could just please indicate that you'd like to make public comment by raising your hand.
Josh Weinstein, 60 Days I Drive. I only want to object to the time limitation for the test. It's limited to 10 to 4, Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. But people work 10 to 4 Monday to Friday, so they're not home to hear whether their emergency generator is still functioning properly. So then if there's an emergency and then suddenly they discover the generator isn't working because they haven't been able to hear the test.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other comment from the public? Sir?
This is generating more conversation than I thought.
Terrible.
Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. Just for the record, I sent you all 3 pages of amendments for this. I don't know if you're going to address it, but I just want to put it on the record that I sent it.
I think Mr. Dougherty can address that.
I will be happy to. Thank you, Mayor. So would you like me to do that now? Or
sure.
Mr. Fisher, thank you for your comments. We took them under advisement. The one comment that I thought was an excellent one was the formatting issue to replace the bullet points with letters. We've certainly done that. The purpose of this ordinance, because I saw you had several comments about generators and industrial generators and uses, this ordinance change very clearly is meant to address residential standby generators, and particularly the issue with corner lots and through lots. That's the particular issue that we're looking to solve here. So we're not planning to address commercial applications in this. And the rest of your suggestions seemed a bit duplicative in some cases. Like there was one suggestion about stating that these applications need to adhere to other ordinances. That's a given. So that certainly it would have to be. So while we appreciate your comments, those are the two changes we're making. And I'd like to just point out one more for the governing body. The planning board had one suggested change that Mrs. Clark sent us all in the version this afternoon. It's a de minimis change, but it's in section 12, section A. It previously said installed by licensed electricians or other professionals. We've simplified that to state standby generators shall be installed by licensed professionals with an S in parentheses. That is the only change, and per Ms. Schaefer, it's a de minimis change and would not require a reintroduction, so we can move forward.
Great. Any other comments from the public? Anybody online?
No, there are 14 attendees, no one with their hand raised.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anybody here want to make any comments? Up here.
Thoughts on the hours to Mr. Linthrop, please.
So I'm curious, I don't have one of these devices myself, but what I'm told is that neighbors can frequently complain about the noise produced by the exercising of these generators, and so it's meant to happen during the day, so it's not particularly early in the day, it's not on the weekends when people are outside doing outdoor activities. I guess I would pose a question to Mr. Rohmeyer if he knows the answer to this. Is there a way to verify that the test was successful even if you're not there to hear it?
Thank you. Obviously, it depends on the specific model generator that's being implemented, but I believe most come with indicator lights. So if you return home and see a red light flashing on your generator, that would indicate that it had failed the weekly test and service is needed. I believe they typically would have a solid illuminated green light on them, indicating, like the Generac brand, indicating all systems are go.
Got it. Thank you.
Mayor, I would also add, it's not 10 to 4, it's 10 to 5 in the ordinance.
Thank you.
That helps.
Yeah.
Anybody else? You ready to vote? Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Pujols.
Yes.
Ordinance 12-2025 has passed.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody. And we have no workshop this evening, so we will now move on to public comment, and this is the public comment period for consent and regular agenda items. Does anybody have anything about the agenda? Okay. Anyone online? We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda.
Crowley moves.
Colasardo seconds.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Pujols?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Oh, good. She is here. Officer Hoffman is here tonight, and I just wanted to say happy National Police Women's Day earlier this week. We are very, 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 very lucky to have you. So this is a big year for you. It's exciting. So thank you. I just know that you might have to go out and find a lost dog or something in a minute. So try to do it while you're here. And now we have the administrator's reports. Ms. Schaefer, you want to go first?
Sure, Mayor, I have nothing to report.
Thank you.
There it is.
Good one, Peg.
Okay. Mr. Rohmeyer.
Very quickly, since our last council meeting, I've been working with the town officials on the capital project improvement estimates for planning for the remainder of the year in 2026. And let's see, over at Many Mine Creek, we're coordinating with the DOT to inspect their storm sewer culverts and crossings. Public Works and myself, we're going to go look at some upstream and downstream areas as well, just to ensure everything is flowing and in a condition as expected.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Farragina.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. The DEP's water supply update as of September 10th indicates that while New Jersey has experienced intermittent, localized, intense rain events, average rainfall across the state is below average. New Jersey and statewide are recommended to follow water conservation practices. The drought watch condition remains in the coastal south region. Per Governor Murphy's Executive Order Number 398, all U.S. and state flags were lowered to half-staff on September 11th in recognition and mourning of the victims of the attacks of 9/11/2001, including those from New Jersey. The borough complied. Per President Trump's September 10th proclamation, all U.S. flags were ordered to be lowered to half-staff until sunset on September 14th as a mark of respect for the memory of Charlie Kirk. The borough complied. The request for proposals, RFPs, for the banquet catering hall space at 4 Simon Lake Drive has been posted to the borough website. Proposals will be opened on October 31st at 12 noon at the Harbor Office. The borough received a reimbursement check from the county in the amount of $88,752 for the Center Avenue Park restrooms. The borough continues to make steady progress in contract negotiations with all 3 collective bargaining units. Discussions remain active and productive, with all parties engaged in good faith efforts to reach mutually beneficial agreements. The borough is currently holding its annual flu and COVID clinic for municipal employees and their immediate family members. Earlier today, the borough received notification from the county permitting the closure of Route 8 First Avenue between East Highland and Ocean Boulevard from 12:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. on October 25th for the AHRC Halloween Parade. The rain date is October 26th. And the next scheduled council meeting will take place Monday, October 6th at 7 p.m. here at Borough Hall. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Now we are moving on to reports of council. Mr. Caliserta.
Sure. I have no report for fire. Shade Tree, we are meeting here on Wednesday, so that's no report there. Harbor, Mr. Farragina already addressed that. The RFP was sent out for the space formerly known as Shore Casino. And with respect to the chamber, there is the Taste of Atlantic Highlands coming up this weekend on the 21st. My understanding is there are less than 100 tickets available, so act fast if you want to go.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me start with police, dividing it again with my fellow commissioner, who will read the other part of this momentarily. During the month of August, there were 13 arrests total. There were 35 first aid calls and 18 fire calls. The department investigated 13 motor vehicle crashes, while officers conducted 279 traffic stops, with 127 moving violations issued and 85 parking violations issued for a total of 221 summonses. There were 4 DWI arrests in August. Some radar data. East Highland Avenue, 11th, this is during the month of August, 11,642 vehicles. Average speed was 23 miles per hour. Grand Avenue, 49,723 vehicles were clocked, with an average speed of 21 miles per hour. Avenue D, 14,192 vehicles. Average speed was 21 miles per hour. So looks good out there, folks. AHPD initiated or received 122 borough ordinance calls incidents in August. There were 6 summonses issued for overnight parking on First Ave. Summonses were issued for time limit parking, and 17 advertising signs on poles were removed. There were 13 curbside warnings for juveniles riding bicycles without helmets, 2 warnings for e-bikes on sidewalks on First Avenue. That's a problem that still persists, but it looks like the number is dropping, and 14 summonses for overnight parking without a permit. Moving on, Councilman Brian Dougherty will do the DPW report this evening. I have no news from First Aid Squad. Recreation Committee, we have our next meeting this Thursday, the 18th. You're all welcome to join if you'd like. And just a reminder, Atlantic Highlands Day will be Sunday, October 12th, and put that on your calendars. It'll be fun. We'll have music, live music, and vendors, and probably 12 food trucks, I think, and a beer garden as well. That's it, Mayor.
Great, thank you. Councilwoman Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. To complete the police report, on October 5th, 2025, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Atlantic Highlands Police Department will be partnering with the Monmouth County Park Rangers with the first of many Henry Hudson Trail Bike Etiquette Day. This event will consist of education to riders in reference to legal requirements and safety tips. Thank you for that. Atlantic Highlands Police Department had coordinated a meeting with the Harbor Manager and C Street to talk about plans to create a pedestrian walkway. This sounds very interesting. Extending from C Street Pier out to the street on First Avenue, Simon Lake Drive. That sounds like an interesting thing to do. Thank you. And with the new school year in session, Atlantic Highlands had safety meetings with the school principal and interim principal. Crossing Guard Roger has also completed his annual training, and special thanks to DPW for putting up new pedestrian crossing signs in the area of the school and blinking yellow lights on top of those signs. Again, things are very interesting. In terms of veterans, I know my fellow councilman, Mr. Pohlhaus, will be is investigating our Hometown Heroes program. Additionally, we're working on getting a newsletter out to all the resident veterans that we are aware of. We're using the information from the Barrow to be able to get that information. We'll be working on that. In terms of seniors, we're coordinating with Portland Point for residents to participate in club activities. And again, there is lots of interesting club activities going on down at the Senior Center. We hope to continue to have more. I don't have a report for OEM. We will be meeting this coming Wednesday. I also have no report for Shade Tree Commission, as my fellow councilman has said. And I just want to remind everybody that there will be a pancake breakfast on September 28th. It's a cute little sign I put outside. The proceeds will be benefiting the Harbor Playground, but this in need of getting spruced up a little bit. So please come out and support the Lions and our Harbor Playground. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Council President Dougherty.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everybody. I'll start with DPW tonight. Public Works announcements. The last brush pickup for 2025 will begin in October. Residents are reminded to place all brush curbside before their scheduled zone date. Leaf pickups, the first round of zone-by-zone leaf pickup will begin in November. The second round will begin in December. Please refer to the Atlantic Highlands Borough calendar for detailed zone-by-zone pickup dates. Residents are encouraged to notify their landscapers or contractors now to ensure they follow the borough's pickup schedule. And as a reminder, the borough yard will be open Saturdays and Sundays during November and December from 8 a.m. to 12 noon for leaf and brush disposal. The Finance Committee met with Mr. Ferragina and CMFO Rick Yanos on Monday, September 8th for a mid-year budget review. The committee has agreed to conduct an annual review of the borough's fee schedule. This is currently underway, asking for recommendations from individual department heads for updates. We will have more updates on this soon. Recreation Councilman Crowley already spoke about the meeting this Thursday. I will add that soccer season is underway, and we've had terrific weather for both weekends so far. Come on down to Fireman's Field to watch our youngsters play. Our first games are at 8:30 and the next games are at 10, so it's not a long morning, but it's pretty fun. Planning Board met on September 4th. Three applications that were originally on the agenda were carried to future meetings. Two applications were heard. The first, PB25-02, 86 3rd Avenue. An application for bulk variances was approved. Another, PB25-01, 39 Hooper Avenue, was also approved unanimously. The next planning board meeting will be held on Thursday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. And Board of Education, the Board of Ed meets this Wednesday, September 17th. That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Forbes.
Thank you, Mayor. I just have a brief report tonight. Mr. Colasoto took care of Harbor. This past Saturday, the Green Team participated in the Garden Habitat Walk, and I just want to thank Ellen Bollinger and Mary Trank for manning the garden. Mary let me know that they had a lot of really interesting visitors, and she really enjoyed connecting with all of them. The next Green Team meeting will be at 6 p.m. on September 23rd. I have no report for Environmental Commission. The next environmental meeting will be September 23rd at 7 p.m. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See if you can get through it.
I think I can do it, yes.
Okay.
Brace yourself.
Yes. From FD, my report, Mayor. They've had numerous calls, a couple of the local ones that we've had, obviously the one we had here in town, right nearby. And they had 31 calls for the month of August, 168 calls year to date. They assisted in mutual aid in Kingsburg for the recent fire on August 29th, which a lot of people heard about on the news, where three children jumped out of the window and somebody was transported via helicopter. So I want to thank the fire department of Atlantic Highlands for doing their jobs here, taking care of us and others in the community, taking care of our friends and family and neighbors. They have some training coming up, some drills happening in the fires on 920 and 924, which the chief will be taking care of. They'll be reviewing building construction size ups. A size up is something you do when you get to the scene of how to attack the fire, enter the building and get everybody out safely, and the firefighters as well. They plan on doing a walkthrough to 10 Ocean, which was our main high rise here in town. And high rises pose a large fire issue based on the honeycomb structure of the building, ventilation, and the high rises and the stairways and the lack of ventilation and such. So I look forward to maybe joining them as well to see that. And this reminds everybody in town how we have to support the fire department, help our brothers and sisters because they help us out at all times as well. I don't have a EMS report yet. Tomorrow I'll be having a meeting with them, and I'll give a nice report next month, hopefully with some good runs for them as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Just real quick before we move on to public comment, a couple of things. I know that you're going to go tomorrow? You're going to be there tomorrow, right?
I will.
Okay. So Mr. Fergin and I have been invited to the annual mayor's meeting at Monmouth Medical. It's at the campus that's by where Monmouth Mall was. And he's going to be attending the first part of that, and then hopefully I'll be able to get there for the rest of it. It's important to connect with our local hospital systems to understand what their initiatives are and to see if there's anything that would be beneficial to residents knowing. So I look forward to attending that tomorrow. And I am also tomorrow afternoon attending a meeting of county officials to discuss further preparation for the Monmouth 250. So we'll be sending out messaging about that to residents, and I'll be reporting on that at the next meeting, but we will have a robust celebration here in Atlantic Highlands. And with that, did the family get their dog back?
He's at SPCA, they are aware.
Okay. Okay, good. She was really cute. And we thought her name was Frisbee, but it wasn't. So Mrs. Clark took care of her for a little while the police were on a call with me. So that's why I'm wearing flip-flops tonight, because there wasn't time to change. okay, this is now the time for public comment. Mrs. Clark, would you mind?
The council encourages public participation and requests that all comments be addressed to the mayor. All comments should refer to topics relevant to the powers and duties of the Atlantic Highlands Borough Government. Speakers are requested to maintain proper decorum at all times during the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so if you'd like to make public comment, please raise your hand, and once you're acknowledged, come to the front of the room, state your name and address. And if you're online, please raise your virtual hand, and Mr. Rohmeyer will recognize you and bring you into the meeting.
Thank you, Jess.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you, Jess. Okay.
Still 14 online.
Mr. Fisher, come on up.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. Just a couple of things. Last meeting, we had Resolution 122, which canceled the taxes on the property that the borough received from the Denholtz properties, lot 517. Is there a resolution required to enter a new lot onto the tax rolls? And I'm specifically speaking of the Masonic Lodge property that was tax exempt for as long as I can remember, but it's now coming back on the tax rolls because they're going to be residences there.
Yes.
So there will be a resolution or?
I don't know what the process is because it hasn't happened since I've been sitting up here, but Mrs.
Mayor,
Clark.
Mayor, that's up to the assessor. The assessor can put it back on the tax rolls.
She will.
Okay.
Yes.
So it sounds like a resolution is not required?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. I asked a couple of questions at the Harbor Commission meeting about the, I guess it was the fee schedule for the harbor specifically, you know, the slip rentals, the mooring rentals, and part of that was the fuel cost, setting the fuel costs. And the process really is very simple. When a truckload of fuel, whether it be gasoline or diesel, is requested from the refinery, probably in Linden, whatever the rack price is...
Are you familiar with that place?
I'm very familiar with that place. Whatever the rack price is, when that truck loads, you add the state and federal taxes, you add the credit card fee for purchasing that fuel, and the harbor has a 30 to 65 cent price range that they can add to for profit to each gallon, whether it be gasoline or diesel. Okay? The price is set by the harbor manager, Lou, right? And he, I asked him specifically, I said, where do we settle on that 30 to 65 cent range? And he said, usually on the high side. But the point is, the price is set immediately when that truck is lands in the harbor and puts its fuel on tanks. The EV chargers now, opposite of that, right? It's, again, it's a fuel, technically, for EVs, right? Electricity. However, as we saw last month, it requires a resolution from this body to raise the prices. Now, according to Mr. Dougherty, the EV chargers were opened up in April 23rd. I informed the body that on June 1st, electricity prices were going to be increased by 17%. And we didn't raise the price until September 1st. So a four-month lag in raising the price of electricity for those truckers. Why do we require a resolution for the EV chargers to raise the price, and yet the Harbor Commission, I'm sorry, the Harbor Manager has the authority via that resolution that was signed the last meeting or the meeting before, he has free rein to set the price as soon as that truck arrives on the property. So I don't get why there's such a big difference between the two different things. They're both technically fuel. Right? For an EV, electricity is the fuel. For a boat, gasoline or diesel is the fuel. So why is there such a difference in setting the price? And because it takes so long to raise the EV electricity price, whatever we charge at the, I won't call it the rack, but at the charger. I'm curious why there's a difference in the process.
I don't have an answer for you specifically, but I my guess would be that legal created this out of what they considered to be best practice for the EV chargers. Ms. Schaefer, is that about right?
Yes, and we could certainly look into whether or not we could do something like what they do at the harbor with gas, but when that was crafted, it was crafted, I guess, probably not taking that into account, Mr. Fisher. I think that since there is such fluctuation and electric prices are skyrocketing, at least in this state, that we ought to take a look at it again and perhaps amend it.
And also, the price of fuel, as we all know, is very cyclical depending on the season and world events and everything else. So it's important to change them as quickly as possible. And we're seeing now with the effect of AI on the whole electrical system in the nation, right? Prices are going to, unfortunately, be going up because of a lack of infrastructure and places to generate the power. So the more that time lags, the more we lose profit here in the borough. Just like if we didn't raise prices of gasoline.
I think we were under the impression, I think Councilman Dougherty might have a better idea, that we should certainly look at this. I thought that price was going to fluctuate based on what we were being charged for the electricity. That it wasn't set in stone, it was going to be set by the utility.
We are, so Ms. Schaefer, thank you. So I have been in touch with JCP&L to kind of solidify if we can get a bulk rate or you know, there's different delivery charges. Anybody who ever gets a JCP&L bill knows how complicated those bills are. But we are also trying to balance utilization with cost. And so as I reported last week, we've seen every month utilization of those chargers going up. People are discovering them, they're finding them, they're using them more and more. And I would also argue, yes, we want to get a return on our investment, and I argue we are. We are also trying to balance them as an amenity. There are soft profits.
Gasoline and diesel fuel are an amenity as well.
I understand, but we also, I mean, the process that you're describing is decades old. These are still relatively new items. And so with setting them by resolution, that was actually a recommendation of what other communities do. Do we need to? That's an open question. But we looked into what other communities, how they set their fees, and it was recommended to us that we do so by resolution.
I think we should be a pay setter and change that, because also, just to muddy up the waters, the electric bill goes to the harbor. You don't get a copy of it as the commissioner reporting to this body, because there's such a lag in the report, right? So that just makes it even worse. Whereas with gasoline and fuel, we know the day that truck pulls up inside that curb what the price is. So I think we need to do something different just to capitalize on what we've built, right? I mean, the taxpayers are about $72,000 into this installation. We deserve to know how much of our money's coming back every quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Still good on
the people can see us and hear us. They just we can't see Peg.
Bye, Peg.
But we can hear Peg. Anybody here in the public? Yes, ma'am.
Your answer, Leonard Avenue. Just out of curiosity, we're having a fundraiser for the Harbor Playground. Would you explain that to me?
I can't explain it to you because it's the first time I'm hearing about it. It's not the borough having a fundraiser, it's the Lions Club, I believe.
Do you want me to answer that?
Sure.
The Lions Club has made a decision that the playground that they helped fund originally 25 plus years ago needs to be refurbished, that it's kind of looking a little old and not quite up to speed. So they've come to the decision to make this fundraiser, the Pancake Breakfast, which we all know is a wonderful event. We haven't had for quite a few years prior to COVID. There hasn't been a pancake breakfast. Will be the fundraiser. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be the full cost. We have to see about this. But the Lions Club is willing to take on that cost. Whatever it is, the Lions Club is willing to take on the cost.
But the harbor or the borough owns the playground, right?
Right. But
don't our taxes pay for keeping this up? Maintaining it?
That park is on the borough of Atlantic Highlands has it as our next park to refurbish also. And so it's part of what we apply for grant funds from, so that it does not require, you know, a huge investment from the taxpayers. You know, we hope to get matching funds for it. But this was the first time I'm hearing about it, and we're going to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And we not have to go to the front of the room?
You do have to come to the front of the room under that microphone. And please state your name and address.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Skatasa. I live at 14 Resling Avenue, and I'm here to raise a concern about the recent presence of a hate group in our town. I don't want to name them and give them the attention that they seek, so I'll just call them something else with the same initials, the potato bugs. According to the Anti-Defamation League, they are an extremist right-wing group that uses violence and intimidation and serves as a tent for misogynistic, anti-immigrant, Islamophobic, anti-LGBTQ ideologies and other forms of hate, including anti-Semitism and white supremacy. To be inducted into this group, members must engage in a major conflict for the cause, which could either comprise a serious physical fight or arrest. These guys are famous. It should go without saying that this group is not welcome here and they should not return. Some folks who witnessed this on Saturday noticed that it appeared that the police department was facilitating their passage down First Avenue. So we're assuming that at least there was some sort of heads up or communication. And I wanted to raise the possibility of looking into like alert or notification policy. So if members of groups that are targets of this group's violence could possibly be given notice so they can plan for their safety.
You are in the meeting now.
Sorry. And I understand this is something that hasn't happened overnight, but I wanted to present a volunteer to help research and talk to other communities that have had similar issues with menacing groups and see what they've done and sort of tactics that can protect public safety, not escalate the situation, but give people who could be subject of violence a heads up and a warning. This is a loving community that looks out for each other, so it seems like something that's well worth investigating. And at this time, I'd like to invite everyone who is also concerned about this topic to join me on the room in case they want to say something.
So, okay, one at a time.
Or maybe just stand. I mean, you don't have to stay standing, but I just wanted to show.
Thank you.
I can add on. My name is Margaret Schumacher. I hope she did an answer.
Yeah. So just if you want to raise your hand.
I'll wait for the
more. Oh, I don't know if you were going to answer or you had anything to say.
I do, but I'll let you guys speak first.
Yeah, I also just want to mention I was...
Can you give your name and address and stand under that microphone? Sorry.
Margaret Schumacher, 68 7th Avenue, Atlantic Highlands. I also kind of saw this procession and was concerned because once I kind of connected the dots, I was thinking, as a history teacher myself, that teaching students about the 19th Amendment, some chapters of this organization actually say to remove, repeal the 19th Amendment, which, as you guys know, as the adults, we get women would remove the right women to vote in this country. So that was concerning to me as a mother of two daughters in town I grew up in. So that was very worrisome. In addition to that, a few days ago outside of our school, there was an individual with a sign. I did not witness this. I'm a teacher myself and was already going towards my school, but just recognizing that the sign said Democrats equal murderers. I understand people are super heightened and upset with the death, the tragic death of Charlie Kirk and the father himself. I can be sympathetic with that, of course. But I was so concerned that students had to see that and that the rhetoric is really, really upsetting. And we need to kind of tone things down and in like a bipartisan fashion be like normal and thoughtful with each other and communicate. I just want to know about the town. Totally, I understand freedom of speech, but in front of the school, is there another process where people can protest in front of this building instead of the school or some other spot in town? So just as a concerned parent, I was very upset about that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hello, Lindsay Collins, I'm on 93rd Avenue. So regarding the procession, organizations that would like to use the borough's roads and services, among other things, must obtain approval from the special events committee. My understanding was that approval was not obtained, nor were we notified. I was wondering if you could look into that and confirm. And my other questions are, if approval was not obtained, why are the police eyewitness accounts, show them escorting or stopping traffic on Route 36 to allow the procession onto First Avenue, lending their services to help them. And I also have a question about what's the town's plans to prevent hate groups from using our town's resources again in the future to spread hate and infiltrate our town with hateful messages and in an attempt to intimidate our residents. We're a small town. Our resources, such as our officers' time, is very limited, and in my opinion, should not be used to support hate group entrance into the town. I have that question. I have another question. Group, as Kathleen mentioned, they're extremists with a history of violence. And so among other obvious safety and civility concerns, hate groups are also bad for business. Our businesses on First Avenue deserve better as they try to attract and maintain a steady flow of customers and business. If we get a reputation as a town that tolerates and facilitates hate group processions, this will obviously impact our businesses. So I also have a question about how is the town planning to respond and clarify that this isn't going to be a safe place for hate.
Thank you. Before I call up the next speaker, I want to address a couple of things that have been said and asked. First of all, the Atlantic Highlands Police Department's number one concern at every time is the safety of all residents, visitors, folks who are in town on any given day. This work that they do, they are investigating at all times when they hear something or something appears on social media. I myself have spent a lot of time in the harbor. I'm there every day. That's my drive. I'm usually there around 4 o'clock if you want to find me. I have seen members of that group in our harbor multiple times because there is an organized ride, usually motorcycle ride, that begins in Wall Township and goes throughout a lot of Monmouth County almost on a weekly basis. So this is the first time that it was I actually didn't see it, I've seen footage of it, that it was as many vehicles as were here this time. And as I think most everybody knows, when we have a special event in the harbor, such as this past weekend's flea market, we have extra police officers on duty making sure that the flow of traffic around a site where there are so many people is moving and is getting through town. The police were not notified that this was coming when the first group came through. They let the police know that they were going to be coming, but the police cannot stop them from entering Atlantic Highlands. It's just, that's not allowed. There's no law that says we can bar the doors, you know, chain the gates. I don't know, we're not Ocean Grove. So the idea that the police coordinated, the police had to act in the moment to make sure that there was no escalation at this drive-through of Atlantic Highlands. They didn't park in Atlantic Highlands, as I'm told. The parking lot that they usually park in after they do this is where the flea market was. So that's what I can tell you about how our wonderful police department handled the situation as to not escalate a situation and to move them through as quickly as possible so as not to be a disruption. Now, what can we do as a municipality? I mean, this is a really nice show of force. I'll call it force because I feel like you're here to let us and hold us accountable to making sure that we are continuing to promote the inclusive environment that we have been to every community in Atlantic Highlands. And I know most of us, I think all of us, believe strongly in free speech and the right to free speech. I mean, I might question the decision-making of an individual who's demonstrating in front of a school building with provocative language, but I will defend his right to do so or their right to do so to the end, to the very end. So I welcome suggestions from the community, including tonight, on ways that we can continue to move forward the work that has been going on in Atlantic Highlands. I mean, we are a much more inclusive town than we were when I moved here over 20 years ago. We just are. It's who lives here. People want to be neighbors, and they don't want hate. So showing up, you know, at pride flag raising and other cultural events, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, honoring members of our community who have brought the diversity that I think we treasure here in Atlantic Highlands and as I see it before me today. But we also, if someone doesn't feel safe, you need to trust the police and go to them. There is if you go into Borough Hall, there's a room that you can, if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel harassed, that you can go to down there, that you can lock yourself in there. And that includes, like, we've had folks experiencing domestic violence that's their safe haven. But our police department is incredible. I mean, Officer Hoffman is specially trained in social issues, social work, and you know, she's just one example of how much work that our police department has done in professional development. I mean, I'm going on for a long time here because I want you to know how important this is to me personally. But my number one thing I have to think of, because I was an activist, I am an activist, but when I'm sitting in this seat, The most important thing to me is public safety, your safety, the safety of our officers, making this place a place that everybody wants to feel welcome. I have strong disagreements with some of the individuals that are in this room, but I try to be civil about it. And if the other side is not civil, that's on them, that's not on me. So we're welcoming a member of the opposition to me anyway, and always hope that they feel good about being here. Because this is a public forum, whether we disagree or agree, to state our differences or to bring up concerns for the community. So I appreciate so many of you being here today, and I will now let some more of you speak. Please come forward.
Michael Ciano, 6500 Avenue. Does anyone remember when George Floyd was killed? The next day, half of this country was in a riot, cop cars overturned, buildings burning, stores looted. Now, fast forward to last week, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. There were vigils, prayers, reflection, and mourning. No riots, no fires, no looting, no overturned cop cars. Wonder why that is. A man was murdered on TV, and his life and death were mocked by liberals, saying he deserved it just because his beliefs and opinions, political views, were different. He gave those with different opinions a microphone and a platform to conduct a healthy debate, a chance for their voices and opinions to be heard, and he was killed for it. And that's the difference.
I don't think that you're saying that's the only difference, but thank you for your comment.
Thank you. Okay, well,
yes, sir.
So,
please come forward and state your name and address. Sorry.
Hello, how are you going?
Hi.
Warren Costas, 106 Center Avenue. Just to address the previous comment, I do want to be careful not to conflate ideas here. Charlie Kirk was not a fascist. The groups that we're talking about are explicitly declared fascists. They, advocate political violence. They have no regard for democracy or rule of law. So I don't want to conflate these things. The tragic assassination of Charlie Kirk is one issue. Then we have another issue that are proclaimed publicly declared fascists. I think those are different things. So I'll make that clear. And then in terms of what's practical here, because we are constrained as a legal entity and a municipality of, what can we do that's conforms with the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and allows us and empowers our police officers to deal with this proactively in a legal way. And there's two statutes we could examine on that. That would be our permitting statute, which does not currently include permits for vehicle processions of a certain size, as well as safety requirements, including compliance with concealed carry laws, which when presented or interacting with law enforcement, members of the population that are carrying concealed permits or have concealed arms are required to disclose that to police officers, and we should enforce those laws to the fullest extent possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone online? Yes?
Yeah, we have one hand raised online.
Okay. Who is it?
O-D-I-L-E.
O-D-L. Can you please state your name and address for the record?
I'm sorry, this is Odile Gordon, 12 Bayside Drive. I'm actually not in Atlantic Highlands right now, but I'm calling in just simply because I also heard about the Proud Boys procession, and I wasn't there, I didn't witness anything, but I am concerned because of the association with political violence. And that just concerns me very, very much. And so I wanted to call in to listen to everybody's comments and to echo those comments that I too was concerned when I heard about that, and concerned about the effect on Atlantic Highlands' reputation. It's nothing more than the fact that the Proud Boys have a very strong affiliation with political violence. I agree with what Mayor Holmlander said about the right to free speech, but I'm very concerned as a mother, who also Atlanta Highlands, of the association with political violence, and frankly also the Proud Boys association with racism. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. It's good to see your face. Anybody else online?
No additional hands raised.
And I share the concerns that you stated, Odile. It's the world that we live in has become a dark place. And, you know, at the start of our meeting, my gut was to say, you know, what is your moment of reflection in here is what is everybody in this room doing to sow unity? And I got talked out of that. But I am going to say it now. What is everybody in this room doing? And those of you who are here, thank you, who are promoting unity, because that's what we need. We need you to show up. There's many, many more of us who want unity than division. Many, many more. Anybody else in here want to make a comment? Anybody online? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Alicia Seeley, Second Avenue.
Thank you. It's just for Mrs. Clark, so she can do it for the record.
I'm really upset about the person standing in front of the school with a sign. It's extremely inappropriate for a school for children to, you know, but listen, politics aside, if that's possible, someone holding a sign that says Dems equals murder. There's a couple of ways to interpret that, and one of them is a threat. The response was extremely disappointing. I think cops should have been at the school all day. I myself was outside all day because I felt that uncomfortable. I went to the police. I was told they would do a walkthrough. No one was there. I barely saw anyone at pickup. I think what more important matters? What is the bigger priority than hundreds of kids inside that elementary school in this small town? Small town policing is the motto. I'm horrified at the lack of response to such a message. Especially in the climate we're in with gun violence and school shootings. So I'm appalled. Free speech, absolutely. That's fine. No one has to leave. You can hold your sign off in day. But I would like there to be heightened security, more police presence when that kind of rhetoric is going around my son. Today's his 7th birthday, and I came here to this meeting to voice my concern and my disappointment in the response to that. And I hope that we can do better.
Thank you. I know that, and I appreciate what you said, and I've had spent a lot of time with the chief since Friday, and spoken to members of the department, and I think sometimes the security that you don't see is the kind that doesn't provoke and or amplify things, but I know that the police, I've had so many conversations with Chief Reinert about what, just every scenario, I can't even live in his head because he worries about the hundreds of children that go to school in Atlantic Highlands. He has 4 children of his own that are in the school. I work in a school building, like we are constantly talking about this, so I am sorry that you didn't feel the presence that day like you wanted, and I know that the chief is hearing every word and will take everything that you've said to heart.
Was anyone there?
Was anyone at the school?
Yeah.
I wasn't there, so I can't tell you if they were there, but I know that, yes, I'm getting confirmation that there were police there.
All day? Because I was there all
day. I circled several times.
Same. My whole day was shocked because I basically
had to step up. Shaking my hands, so that doesn't make us feel safe.
Okay.
So,
Karen Vanessa, 48 something out there.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
My name is Ashley Lucas. I am on 8th Avenue in Atlanta Highlands. I'm just basically, I guess this is where I'm coming from. I think it's just the lack of communication. I think that's where a lot of this is coming from. We don't know whether it's the school, we don't know whether it's the town, the police department. We feel that this was a very, I mean, I just felt that in my soul. When I saw that sign and I saw those children, I died inside, and I just felt it right here. And my son asked me after school to explain it to him, and I can't. And we're very confused where we stand, and we're not getting answers. And I think freedom of speech is different than what happened that day. And I don't know where the line is. I understand the gentleman was not on the property of the school, but I think we are not clear what that means. Where is the line when something like this happens that day and in the future? If there was more clarity around it, I think that would really go a long way.
I wish we didn't need the clarity on it. I mean, that's listen, I've talked to and have heard from, and every member of this council has had conversations about this. I've also had conversations with Dr. Beams. I want you to be here. I invited you to be here tonight to express yourself. And I don't invite intimidation. And especially I don't invite intimidation at school children on purpose, with it being the point. I think that the individual who chooses to do this is very, very clear on what the law is and how far he can push it. And using words like genocide and using words like murder and using, I mean, don't go to his social media page. Yeah. Don't go, it's public. Yeah. And it's disgusting.
I just wanted to voice that.
Anybody else? Yes.
Sorry, just one last thing. My name is Lauren Gorley. I'm 75 Ocean Boulevard.
Was it their dog?
I heard tonight all about how signs are really important, right? We try not to have many signs at our home because it really commits us to a certain message to our 9-year-old daughter. I can tell you two signs that she notices every year in this town, and that is December when the snowflakes go up, and it's in June when the pride flags go up. So maybe we break that up with a couple of peace signs every now and then. Because I can tell you right now, you told us a few moments ago that showing up is really important. If you had a borough council meeting at 3:05 on a weekday, the kids would be lining up the signs outside the door.
I can call a special meeting and do that. I will do that.
If children were allowed to stand up here with signs,
yep,
the police officers would have to call in Kingsburg to come and support them. Because there would be so many. Okay?
Yeah.
We talk about calling in reinforcements. There would be so many children here. We would need reinforcements from other police departments. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Am I on the go again?
Sure.
Mr. Fisher does it often.
Warren Costas, 106 Center Avenue. I just want to keep on bringing a conversation about what is in our power to do. We are not going to do anything about the First Amendment. These people are not, they're clearly within bounds, as far as I know, not as an attorney, right? That's not how we're going to be able to deal with this. And I also want to be really careful that I think our officers are part of the solution here. They're already present. I think education is part of the solution. I think everybody's very confused about what these words mean. Things like authoritarians or fascists, violence, things of this nature. Like, I don't know if we can better educate everybody on this. I know my children are aware of what the difference is between free speech that's within the bounds of acceptability and what hate speech is and what violence actually is, and everybody seems very confused about what those things are. So I don't know if there's an age-appropriate way or some way to help people better understand these concepts, but the confusion is part of what's causing these problems. And in terms of what we can actually do, I don't think we could do, as far as I know, and I'm not an attorney again, do anything about stopping a guy like that with a font sign, because he's not breaking any laws and he has a fundamental right to do so. I do think, you know, we can work with the police department. We can think about how do we make it you know, set up the deterrence for anything that goes anything beyond what these people's rights are. So I think we can solve or maybe address this within the constitutional legal powers that we actually have. You know, that involves education. It involves, you know, normal security and public safety regulations. It involves permitting regulations. It involves things, education is within our power. So to the extent that we can, you know, focus on that, I'd be having volunteer time or organize things along that to come up with concrete policy proposals that are within our power to enact for consideration. And I would like to just be very focused on how we can, again, empower this body as well as our police officers, who I know are well-intentioned. Certainly, I would imagine, don't want the hate in our town any more than anything else. So I just think it's important that we remember that we're a community, and one of the tactics that fascists use is to rile people up. They had a picture of Charlie Kirk. They are fascists. Charlie Kirk is not. They know that. They are trying to upset us, and they are trying to get us to point fingers at each other, and that's not going to solve the problem. What is going to solve the problem is statutes and making sure that everybody has the tools they need to react promptly and prevent anything going beyond free speech.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody online?
No hands raised.
Sir?
Paul Barbado, 22 Laurie Road, aka Lousy Road. But I just would wonder, they have a parent association, a school parent association.
Adjust the dais, please.
Yeah, where, I don't know if she's in the room, but we're saying communication, and that would be a very helpful thing, but since all these kids are in school, where's the parent association with this?
I think a good number of them are here, Mr. Barbado, and they've been speaking.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, it would be nice.
Again, please address the dais.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. Anybody else? I'll stay here all night. I want to hear you. Stay here for less.
I have a question. What would you consider a crisis at a school, and how would you respond? What's the threshold for when you would up your presence as a
governing body?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in a school building just about every day because I work in one. So I know the protocols for the Rumson Police Department because that's where my building is located. I actually am, I rely on the chief and the superintendent to work out what their relationship is and what level of security is in the building. I would hope that you would also raise these concerns at the next school board meeting. I see members of the school board that are here right now, because there's decisions that are made both by the superintendent and by the school board that sometimes restrict what the police department, what they would like the police department to do, because we're all balancing kids trusting the police department and our police officers. So I've heard a lot of that conversation between them. So we will do this here, but also I think the school board needs to hear this as well. I'm sure that many of you are planning to do that, because that there are, it's a symbiotic relationship, and a lot of, you know, neither the chief nor the superintendent want to undermine each other.
So I have an email out to you for your response, and also the superintendent, and I didn't get much sense that anyone was jumping to be there. So I'm just wondering if there is some sort of threshold that you consider when you determine whether or not.
The police determine when the police are present. Are you asking when the mayor and council are present?
No, the police.
That's a police decision. We always have conversations about the chief. If we are hearing from you that, if we're hearing from a number, I mean, he's hearing all of this. He's not somebody who's not going to react to the pain that so many of you and I are feeling about this right now. I just, an hour before the meeting started, we had a 30-minute conversation where he was just trying to get inside to change into his uniform, and I couldn't stop talking to him about it. So. And he was patient with me, and he got to change, and I'm wearing flip-flops. But, I really hear you, and I in this role, and when I was council president and before I was council president, I've had a lot of people try to intimidate me. So I'm experienced in this and have had to make police reports to our police department and to the Highlands Police Department. So I am hyper aware of the safety and intimidation of certain members of our community and how they will lie and twist the truth or a version of their truth to try to get a different answer or to try to, I admire all four of the candidates for office that are running this year because they take on a level of scrutiny that, and some people are gracious in the community and some people, I'm sorry, they're just evil and nasty and lie. And I personally experienced this a lot, like including when they come to my council meetings and just stare at me glowering. So we'll talk about it. And I look forward to reading your email.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the messages that are being sent today. Sir.
Scott Ryder, 101st Avenue, St. Highlands. I just want you all to know that this situation at the school was addressed immediately. Before school even went into progress, we had contact with the individual. We spoke with them clearly. Our crossing guard gave us a heads up that he was outside. And we had open conversation with him, right? Being aggressive, obviously throwing him out of the area he was in would be unconstitutional. We violate his rights, which is not permitted, right? After that, the school was briefed. We spoke with security. We let them know what was going on. I had a direct conversation with the individual in police headquarters making sure that everyone was going to be safe today and nothing was going to be happening. So armed security in the school, which they didn't want police officers, and it was a fight about 2 years ago, they are armed in the school, so we see comfort in that, and they were briefed on what was going on. Outside of removing the individual across the street, which we're not permitted to do, I feel like without traumatizing any children, causing mass public alarm by putting a message out and having parents come to the school in droves, we handled the situation behind the scenes rather swiftly and immediately. And you could even have a conversation with the person that held up the sign, and he would corroborate exactly what I'm saying right now. As far as every other debate that's gone on here, I do hear you. I understand. I take it personal. Somehow, the police always ends up in the middle of everything. And it's just the way it is. Never the fireman. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chief. Anybody online, Doug?
No hands raised.
If you even just want to say some one little thing, I'm telling you, I will be here all night. If this is your first time commenting on public comment at a community meeting, I'm proud of the discourse. Thank you for being here. Last call. All right. Well, that ends public comment, which ends our meeting. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Dr. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Good night, everybody. Be safe.